Good morning. You guys are very responsive. As you've heard, things are going to be a little different this morning. I want to talk to you first about something that's really dear and near to my heart, and that is No Shave November. You know, people, every week I encounter people on the street, and they ask me questions like, how long you've been growing that beard? What is the circumference of that beard? And my standard response is, a gentleman never grows and tells. Okay? How many men we got in the room? Raise your hands. You guys better be growing a beard in November, okay? That is the expectation. Who's with me? I got a promise from a man named Craig that he was going to let his beard grow wild. He had a change of heart. His beard is finally shorn. He looks like a Backstreet Boy. It's very pretty. It's not like big and bushy like a lumberjack, if you will. How are we doing this morning? You guys good? No Shave November's a go. We're already 4 days into it. Some of you might know this as Movember, which is the mustache growth. That's wrong. They celebrate that in Australia, but not here in America, okay? Full beard. That's not what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about a little thing we do here called worship. You guys, can you see these books here? Look at this. All of this stuff is what I went through this last week because I got to speak on worship. We're going through Foster's. You guys know who Richard Foster is, right? Celebration of Discipline. We've been going through that entire book, and we are on the last four disciplines that we're going through for the year. We're going to end out 2012 with the last four disciplines. Is that cool? Well, we get to a discipline, and it's called worship. You guys know what worship is? Hit me. You guys know I like feedback. Talk to me about worship. You guys don't know anything about worship. Talk to me. Come on. What is worship?
Being gathered in the presence of God with Christ as our focus.
Being gathered in the presence of God with Christ as our focus. Yes. What else? Dictionary. I don't follow you. No, I'm just kidding. What else? What else is worship? Come on, guys. Glorifying Him.
Thankful.
Recognizing Him, meaning Jesus or God, I'm assuming, in everything. Somebody said something over here? Spending time with Him. What else?
Thinking
about Him. What else?
Offering
ourselves to Him. Somebody said something over here, too. Obedience. Those are all things about worship. But what I find, here's how I live my life for a long time, and maybe you guys, my voice is like shaking, like I'm nervous or scared. I think I just had too much coffee. It's really weird, because I'm not nervous. I love you guys. There's only one guy that I'm nervous with, and I know it's because he has a gun. I'm just kidding. I love you, buddy. I love you, buddy. So for the longest time, I lived my life as worship being a once-a-week event, meaning on Sunday, which is today, right? How many showed up to church early today, by the way? Man. All right. We tried to help you out through Facebook, but apparently some didn't read it. But so I used to treat worship as this thing, this event, this service, a Sunday morning, meaning I went and I heard preaching, I went and I took communion, I went and I sang some songs, right? That's how I lived worship. That's my idea of what I thought worship was. Is that anybody else in the room? Maybe that's your thought today even, that this counts as worship. But worship is not a once-a-week event. Worship is a lifestyle. Do you guys know that? So I'm not teaching you anything new. Worship is, in fact, a lifestyle. And if you take it and make it a low priority in your life, you're not going to understand what worship is. Okay, so we're going to hopefully go through this Foster book, and we're going to hopefully explain and help you and help me figure out what worship is. Let me read you a quote from A.W. Tozer. He says, God made man to be like him so that man could give more pleasure to God than all other creatures. Only in man, as created by God, can God admire himself. Man is the mirror image in which God looks to see himself. Man is the reflection of the glory of God, which was the purpose and intention of God originally. Man's supreme function through all eternity is to reflect God's highest glory, and that God might look into the mirror called man and see his own glory shining there. Through man, God could reflect his glory to all creation. Do you guys agree with that? In Genesis, God said, let us create man in our own image. You guys realize that we are the only thing created in the image of God? It's not cattle, even though some look like cattle. I don't know. No Shave November, guys. It's okay to look like cattle in November. It's not trees, it's not nature, it's man that we are created in God's image. And so when God looks upon us, he sees himself, right? But I think a lot of times my reflection of God breaks his heart. Because a lot of times what I want to reflect and project is selfishness, right? I want to reflect everything that isn't God. And so he looks upon this creation that's broken, that's shattered, that says, yeah, you know what, God, I know I'm created in your image, but I really just don't care. Yeah, I know all the stuff you did for me, but I really just don't care. And so we being the only creatures that God can look upon to say, hey, you know what, that's my reflection, that's me shining through them, and then hopefully they are the reflection of the rest of the world because they're reflecting me, right? You know what? This is really hard. We've done this before. We flip-flopped service where we've done worship second, meaning worship through song, and we've done sermon first, and it seems like it always, that worship side of things through song always primes the pump for you guys to get really jazzed and excited about things. But we're not doing worship through song this morning, and I tell you why. It's because I don't want it to be confused with worship as a whole. It's a part. And it freaks me out to not do music because music has been such a huge part of my life since junior high. I've been in a band since junior high all my life. I started leading worship at my high school youth group, and I've been doing it ever since. And so to have a service, I've never been, has anybody been to a church service where they have not had any kind of form of worship? One guy. I've not been that. Two guys. Yeah. Through song. And so it freaks me out. And it's freaking you guys out, too. I can feel it. I can feel it. So anyway, in Romans 12, you guys know who Paul is, right? Okay, he was a disciple, right? An apostle, right? From Tarsus. Yes, this guy knows Paul. He's been to his house. So he's writing this letter to the Romans, and this is what he says. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of... Okay, can I read that again? Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Are you guys catching that? Yes. Yes. And I find that goes hand in hand with even what Jesus said. He said the first commandment in Mark 12:30. What did he say? What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Do you see how he stacked that there? The divine priority was on worship first. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then the last one is strength. You guys see how he stacked that? Meaning worship first, service second, because service flows out of our worship. You guys catching that? No one is catching that. So a lot of times as a church, we get things backwards. We do service projects, and we don't really explain them all that well, right? So we do service for the sake of service instead of service out of the out of the outpouring of worship, right? Is that anybody or is that just me? Okay, that's just me. Good. You guys. This is on tape, you guys. I need feedback because it makes me look bad if no one says anything. You guys know, amen, amen. So the divine priority is worship first, service second. Our lives are to be punctuated with praise, thanksgiving, and adoration. Service flows out of worship. What do you worship today? Coffee. Honesty. Myself. What do you guys worship?
Money.
Stuff. Reputation. Ooh. Reputation. You guys are a little too honest. What else? Relationships. Here's the deal. If you're not worshiping God, you are worshiping something, okay? Do you guys know that? It's either going to be money, it's going to be drugs, it's going to be alcohol, it's going to be who you slept with last night or who you slept with this morning. It's going to be the porn you looked at before you came to church this morning. It's going to be the porn you looked at last night. It's going to be multiple things that can take precedent over what God wants for you, correct? So you will be worshiping something, but God wants to be reflected in you back to him. That's what gives him honor. Anything, the worship is, in essence, your reflection. Anything that reflects back to God that looks like God is worship. Do you know that? Anything that reflects back to God that looks like God is worship. You guys catching that? Okay, so if you're worshiping all these things, we know how to worship those things good. Like, I worship No Shave November. My beard, it's beautiful. It can be a form of worship. Come on, guys, this is fun. Let's have fun. We're a family, right? This is the living room. My time that I give away to Facebook, actually that I throw away, that I throw down the toilet to Facebook. Come on, preacher. My time that I spend Googling, my time that I spend playing World of Warcraft, that's more on the geekier side for those of you. I'm not one of those. So we can spend all this time and energy in reflecting all these other things other than God in our lives. And so how in the world do we make worship a part of our lives every day that reflects God? How do we do that? Foster has seven disciplines. He has seven steps is what he calls them. And I hate preaching like this because normally I just generally like to preach with one point. I hate giving you steps because you guys are going to remember 5% and it's going to be No Shave November. So you guys aren't going to walk away with these seven steps. Or you might. So what we have first, and what Foster says, is pray without ceasing. Did you know that's a verse in the Bible? It's in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Do you want to hear that verse? You want to hear what it says? Yeah. Pray without ceasing. Do you guys want to memorize a piece of scripture this morning? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. All right, where's it found? All right, what does it say? All right, so you guys memorize scripture. You guys are awesome. Pray without ceasing. And he goes on to say, punctuate every moment with inward whisperings of adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. Now, if you're anything like me, what I did is I used to treat worship as if anything good would happen to me, I would praise God. Oh, God, thank you for your goodness. Oh, God, you got me out of debt. Thank you so much. Oh, God, the money was there for groceries. Thank you. Thank you. Let me worship you in that. Not bad things, but that would be the only time I would really, in my daily life, give praise and adoration to God because he stroked my ego. He did what benefited me the most, right? Is that good? So what happened is as I start living some of these principles out that Foster's talking about, And they are. I mean, you watch your daily life and you watch. Foster wasn't a dummy. He knows what was going on with people and knows how people works. I started seeing, I go on a motorcycle ride. And at face value, my motorcycle, it was to see how fast I could take a corner or to pull up next to a Harley man and try to kick his bike over. I ride a Victory. Not funny. No, nobody knows motorcycle jokes. But my worship, you know, would be in that motorcycle. That would be it. My prized bike. How much chrome do I have? What's the newest pipes I got on it? How did I get it tuned? How much horsepower am I putting down? Those kinds of things I could trade for worship. Now, as I started getting more involved with God and God started infecting my heart, my worship became asking other people to go on motorcycle rides for ministry purposes. So I could live life with people, so I could reflect God's glory to them and then reflect that back to God. And as I'm riding my motorcycle, I'm not thinking, how fast can I take this curve? I'm thinking, God, the creation that you've made, the beauty. If you take a bike trip down 287, you are going to be enamored with what God has created. Amen? Even in a car, you can see that. You go up Centennial, you go to Saratoga, you see the beauty that God has created. These mountains, these streams, these rivers, these lakes, all this stuff. And you start thinking different. And so when you're praying without ceasing, do you know prayer is just this conversation that you have with God. Do you know that? Because if you don't know that, you need to change your thinking about it, because that is all this is. God desires so much to just sit across from you on a couch and talk to you like you're his friend. Do you know that? He is more than a friend. He is your king. There is a reverence that comes with that, okay? But all he wants is this constant conversation. And so throughout your day, God, you know what? My kids are driving me nuts. Take them away from me. No, I'm just kidding. God, you know what? My kids are driving me nuts, and I am having a hard time finding these fruits of the Spirit that you talk about. But I know they're there. And I know you're going to get me through this. You see? God, you know, this guy in front of me is driving 10 miles an hour. I got to get to class. Make him go away. No. God, work within him. Work within his heart. Work within what's going on. I read a book by Judy and Neil Bauer called Pray and Watch. Has anybody read that? Hey, we got two people in the front. That's awesome. Fonzie, hey. And that's what they talk about, is this holy expectancy in people, where you're just praying God's presence to work in people. You might not even know them. You might be at a baseball game, but you're just praying for these people. And it totally changes what you're doing. You can be riding your motorcycle. You can be working out at the gym. You can be taking a test at school. You can be talking to God all this time. You guys know that? You guys can be praying without ceasing. What is that? 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So punctuate every moment with inward whisperings of adoration, praise, and thanksgiving. Have personal times of inner worship and confession and Bible study and attentiveness to Christ. Is that hard for anybody else? My mind, I probably have ADHD. I don't know, undiagnosed. Tempered with caffeine, which makes it even that much better. Yeah? But it's those personal times, that inner worship. And this is at home, guys. This isn't here on Sunday mornings. This is like you going home right now. This is you going home on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then you come and prepared on a Sunday morning to worship corporately as the body as we gather, right? So these times are very, very important, because that's when we really know who God is. That's when God truly reveals himself, when we're looking for him. He's gonna show you who he is. And so all of this is going to heighten your expectancy in public worship, what we do on Sunday mornings. Because the gathered experience of worship just becomes a continuation of, this is Foster's words, excuse me, a continuation and an intensification of what you have been trying to do all week long. Pray without ceasing, right? Open communication with God all week long, right? Involve him in your life all week long in whatever you're doing. And the cool thing is if you are looking at pornography and you involve God, holy crap. Is that accountability or what? Am I touching a nerve? If you are smoking dope, and you involve God in that? Are you guys catching it? Some of these things that you are involved in, if you are getting blitzed at the bar, if you're beating your wife or your kids, and you involve God in that, things are going to change in your life, don't you think? If you're obedient to what God's got for you, right? Amen? Less talk, more rock. Move on to number two. Got real heavy right there. I felt the ceiling kind of caving in a little bit. Number two is have many different forms of worship throughout the week. So what we do here, we're not probably going to get all week long, right? On a Sunday morning? Or do you guys have a rockin' band that just plays at your house all the time? You guys have very eloquent speakers like myself, just preaching at your house all the time. That was a joke. I don't really think I'm that eloquent. So have many different forms and experiences of worship. Worship God when you are alone. I find the most times that I get to spend with God in worship is when he won't let me sleep at night. That is the only time when my ADHD coffee-fueled mind has time to just sit down and be quiet. And I talked to you guys a couple weeks ago, and I said God would not let me sleep. So for 6 to 8 hours, I sat and I prayed for you guys. I prayed for Whitewater Christian Church. I prayed for Laramie. And I just had this great communion with God alone. I'm sleep-deprived sometimes because of it. But sadly, sometimes that's the only time that I take for him when I'm alone. I'm just confessing to you guys because I'm a busy dude. Isn't that weird? Busy with church stuff and I leave God out of it. Is that anybody else? Nobody else. Good. Good. It talks about having home groups, not just for Bible study, but for the very experience of worship itself. That sounds a little weird, doesn't it? Do we have worship groups here? You guys. We have home groups, right? We have some Bible studies going on, right? Do you guys find those as forms of worship? As you're digging into Scripture, as you're trying to find out what God's saying to your life, and as you're looking in, is that a reflection of God? Is that reflecting God back to him as you're trying to find out how to live better lives through what you're doing? Can it be? One person, good. You guys are tracking with me? All of these little experiences of worship will empower and impact the larger Sunday gathering. It's almost like you're coming loaded on a Sunday morning to just worship because you've been worshiping all week, right? And what is worship? It's reflecting God back to himself, right? You guys like answering questions or should I just shut up? Right. Yes. Number three, he says, find ways to really prepare for the gathered experience, which is what we do here on Sundays, okay? That's the gathered experience. And he talks about reading Scripture. You guys know that we have Going Deeper Scriptures on the bulletin? Do you guys ever read the bulletin? I get so many calls and complaints every week because no one knows what's going on. And I said, did you read the back of your bulletin? No, I never do. We got information. Do you know we have a prayer email on the back of the bulletin that if you are in dire need of prayer or you can pray for people, if you guys are prayer warriors, this email, once it's sent, goes to somebody's phone, it gets kicked out instantly, and you have at least 45 people praying for you. Do you know that? If you don't know that and you want to be a part of that, email prayer@whitewaterchristian.com. So information on the back of this bulletin is very crucial, okay? So we have Going Deeper Scriptures, I believe, that are on the front of the bulletin that talks about more than what we talk about here on Sunday morning. So like today, you're going to see read Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline, the chapter of worship, okay? You're going to see read Romans 12. You're going to see read Mark 12, okay? These are things that are going to help you out with these personal worship experiences as you prepare for the next Sunday, as you guys prepare for the next worship gathering. It even talks about, you know, some of the songs that we sing here. That's why we do worship through song, is because they are words that I can never sometimes put together for God. And so we get together and I worship through song very easily because God, yeah, you know what? That resonates with my heart. These are the heart cries from me. And so I'm able to express my heart better through song. And so it talks about going through hymns. Not going to use that word. Foster did, though. Hymns. Was he, like 80? I think he is, actually. So, but songs, you know, so these songs. Go through these scriptures and these songs to prepare yourself for the larger gathering. Number four, he talks about having a willingness to be gathered in the power of the Lord, meaning as individuals, we must learn to let go of our agenda. We must learn to let go of our being blessed and of my hearing of the Word of God. So many times we come to church with a very personal agenda, do we not? Some of you that come here today probably show up late so you can skip the worship because it sucks and it's too loud for you. Okay? Some of you come, and if the preacher doesn't stroke your ego, you got to go approach him afterwards and say, hey, man, just not really feeling it, not really vibing it, right? We come with this personal agenda, and I say every morning that God's got us here for a reason. Every Sunday morning, I say God's got us here for a reason because he does want to speak to your heart individually. He does. He's got something for you. He's got something for you. He's got something for me. But we are also gathering corporately, right? So he's got something for the greater body. He's got something for all of us together as a whole, as Whitewater Christian Church, as we are a church living out God's love here in Laramie, right? Individually, we can do little things. Corporately, we can do big things, right? So some of these expectations that we come with, we got to have a willingness to be gathered together. You know, I talked a couple weeks ago, and I said, we are just one jacked up family, right? I'm the crazy uncle that no one talks about. Okay? I said that, and that's true. And so we come sometimes with these individual ideas of who people are and how they can't serve, how they shouldn't be here doing that. You see where I'm getting at? Some of that personal agenda, some of that personal stuff that creeps out on us. Number five, he talks about cultivate a holy dependency. Holy dependency means that you are utterly and completely depend upon God for anything significant to happen. Now, this is a big one because a lot of times as a worship guy, I'm always looking at the music. Anywhere I go, I'm saying, man, that worship sucked. Or that worship was really awesome. Or that pastor, he doesn't speak like me, so I don't like him. I rely so much on the people on stage to create this godly encounter on a Sunday morning worship gathering instead of listening to God, right? Is that anybody else? That's a lot of pressure on a pastor. I can't do that for you. But God can. So let's rely upon God, okay? A holy dependency, you guys catching this? Am I going too fast? No? I have to speak for 2 hours since we're not doing worship, so. Look forward to God acting and moving and teaching and wooing and winning. The work is God's, not yours, not mine. Okay? Number six. Foster talks about absorbing distractions. I just talked about Facebook sucking my life away, right? There was a period of time in about a 2 month stint where I was on Facebook and I never get online to chat with people because I just hate it. Because you get online, you got 6,000 friends who are also online and they always say, hey, what's up? Right? Is that awesome? I feel loved. Hey, what's up? What do you need? Well, nothing. What's up? Okay, so I hear from God, honestly, he said, open your chat window, open your message window, Let people know you're there. And I said, come on. You cannot move through Facebook. This is a distraction. I mean, that's like saying God's at Walmart. Right? I'm kidding. So Facebook to me is a distraction because I've always got it open. Now, I have my email window open, and I've got my Facebook window open because what I found is God is moving more and more through Facebook in that interaction with people. It's just another touch point. And so what happened is God said, I need you to open your Facebook window, let people know you're online to chat, and that's where I'm going to leave it. And I said, okay, this sucks. I'll do it. Sure enough, I open it up, and it starts a conversation from a man that I know, an awesome musician from North Carolina. He is not a believer. And he goes to a funeral of one of his good close friends that died, and the preacher was saying some crazy stuff at the funeral that he didn't understand, that he didn't get, that enraged him. And this guy bounces in and starts talking to me because he knew that I was going to be someone that would not judge him or judge what he's saying or get pissed about anything that he's saying, but I would hear him out. God moved through Facebook, this distraction, okay? And it says, become willing to relax with distractions as they may be a message from the Lord. So, as we gather corporately, that was just a personal story for me, this distraction, right? Let me tell you another distraction story. God, last year around this time, it was exactly around this time, my family and I took a family vacation to Omaha in our awesome SUV, and we get home. Actually, the thing dies on us on the way home. And so we get halfway. We were in North Platte, Nebraska. You guys know where that's at? It's halfway to Omaha. It's a great place to break down. They have so much there. I think they have a Walmart. So we break down. Anyway, we get home, and our car is getting literally like 5 miles to the gallon. I take it to places around town. They said, we have no idea what's going on. We have no idea what could do that to this vehicle. And the starter went out on it. So anyway, it comes down to this car is worth nothing, and it costs more to fix than it is to just dump it, right? So God takes this distraction. You know, we start flirting with the idea of becoming a one-car family, which is a joke for us. First world problems, Canaan. It's first world problems. And so God takes this distraction, and it hurt because it was just like, you know, we got to dump money somewhere. We got to figure something out. But all we had to our name in savings was $2,000, okay? So I've got this list of people that pray for me and pray for the ministry here before it even launched. And so I just said, look, I am asking you to pray, not for money. I am asking you to pray that some elderly person who is, it's their time to go, dies, and the son or the daughter does not want their vehicle that has 20,000 miles on it in the garage and will sell it for $2,000, okay? This is how my mind works, right? So it didn't have to be exactly like that, but that's how my mind worked. I wasn't asking for money, and so all of a sudden, this distraction, this and it's, you know, it's between, and it's December, so it's getting cold. It's not like I'm just walking around Laramie in the summertime needing a vehicle. It's November, December, January. It's getting cold. And so God takes this and he says, yeah, I'm not going to do that. And so what happens is I started getting checks in from people that I don't know who they are, sent here to the office. People from Texas, people from Alaska. People that don't know me and I don't know them. Strange people, okay? Sending 2,000, 4,000, 3,000. I'm not health and wealth in you here. This isn't, don't mistake this. So this distraction that God means, that God uses is my personal inconvenience. I'm distracted because I need two cars to do ministry because any given moment I'm visiting people in the hospital in Loveland area, okay? God takes this distraction and he makes it good. And not only does he make this good, we buy this vehicle, right? And it's a whole God thing in and of itself. We test drive it. They tell us it's this price. They won't come down on it. They call us the night before and said, well, we're reducing the price on this vehicle. So that put it in within $61 of what we could afford. And they don't dicker with people on the sticker price. So finally I said, you need to take this extra of $61 off. And they said, we don't do that. Again, car dealerships are beautiful. And so they end up going and doing all of these things that were asked. And it brought it to the purchase price of the money that came in for me to purchase this vehicle, okay? So that's a God thing, okay? Not only is that, but God says, all right now, Adam, you're sitting across from this woman after she deals with you, after she says, yeah, we will make things happen for you. Preach the word to her. Is that comfortable in any situation? Not only do I look like I've spent about 10 years in the pen, now I'm going to talk about what God has done. I open my mouth and I said, can I tell you a story? And so, man up, boom. I'm not going to cry, Rich. Rich, Tuesday night, Rich and Larry said, if you need to cry, just bawl, man. Just go. Just go. You can't be teaching guys that it's not all right to cry. Bull crap. Bull. All right? So I preached the gospel to this woman. I said, you want to know how this car came about? This is how it is, and this is what God did, and this is how God provides for my family. God took this meager little bit that I had and produced it and made it this beautiful vehicle that I would be able to continue to do ministry in. And to watch her on her face deal with that information, try to process it, like, the only words she could get out are you serious? Dead serious. Napoleon Dynamite, anybody? So I asked them to clean the car. I asked them to clean the car, and they clean the car, and I go back and I pick it up, and she's following me out the door. And she said, hey, can we keep in touch? And I said, yeah. And we found out later that she came in on her day off to sell us the vehicle. And my wife said, you know, come in. We own a salon. She said, come in, and we'll do whatever you want with your hair. Thanks for coming in on your day off. And she asked me, can we keep in touch? And I said, yeah, seriously, take my wife up on that offer. She's awesome. She said, that's not what I'm talking about. I want to know more about God. I want to go to your church. I'm not balling, Larry. Rich. I want to go to your church. And I sat there in awe of what God had done. Because it wasn't about me getting a vehicle. That was an awesome benefit. I got in the car and I bawled. I'm driving away in my new vehicle and I'm in awe of what God had done. Through a distraction of me being inconvenienced for a few months. Of me paying a little too much more in gas than I should have because I was getting 5 miles of the gallon. How does that happen here in the corporate setting, these distractions that God can use for good? How many of you like children running around on a Sunday morning yelling? How many of you let that ruin your worship experience? Got heavy again. How many of you can't focus on anything going on because a child cries or a child screams or he's running around? I can be the first to raise my hand and say, that drives me nuts. If it was my kids, I'd hate it. I'd be embarrassed by it, honestly, if it was my children running around. But absorb these distractions. God gave us these children, right? Sometimes I think children are the only ones that actually understand what God did and what he's doing. The love and grace that children give. So we need to absorb, we need to learn to absorb these distractions because God might be using them for our benefit, for a teaching. Amen? Worship? Yeah? Can we worship out of distraction? Can we worship in distraction? I hope. Last but not least, number 7, learn to offer a sacrifice of worship. You guys, I don't know if you've been here when this has happened, but there have been mornings where I come not primed for worship. I come with my heart filled with garbage. And it's normally selfishness. It's normally things didn't go right for me the night before. I didn't sleep. My week just really was terrible. And so I come on a Sunday morning, and I, as your pastor, have to grin and strap on a guitar and lead worship out of what I don't have to give. Okay? Worship through song. Excuse me. Let me clarify that. And so I have to lead out of what I don't have, and it is a sacrifice to bring my heart to where it needs to be. Because I don't want to encounter God, because I know he's going to change it, and I know there's a possibility that it could hurt as he extracts that out of my heart. Anybody else? But we shouldn't let that stop us. We shouldn't let money woes stop us. We shouldn't let our own sins stop us, right? We should sacrifice. We should make that sacrifice. We should say, God, you know what? I'm not in a place to worship you, but I'm going to do it anyway. And generally what I find, I begrudgingly start worship. And by the end of it, God's like, there you are. You're here. You're where I need you to be. Now I can start using you. Now I can start speaking through you. Now I can start speaking to you. Amen? Are you guys feeling this? Are you guys experiencing it? Worship, these are just simple tools that Foster gives. These seven ways to help groom us for worship, to help prep us for worship gatherings on a Sunday morning as we do it individually in our homes, as we do it in prayer, as we do it in smaller groups, as we find other avenues to worship in. I can worship God while shooting a gun. Do you know that? I can worship God while cooking a hot dog. Man, God brought me to a place of worship. My wife's working. I'm cooking dinner. I'm cooking hot dogs and mac and cheese for my boys. All of a sudden, just one line from a song called One Thing Remains that we've done here rolls through my head. And I start bawling. Rich, Larry. Comfort of my own home bawling, though, thank you very much. And my boys are like, man, this must be some really moving mac and cheese. God is in this mac and cheese. God is in this Nathan's hot dog, which I believe he is. Nathan's hot dogs are the best, I think. But God brings me to this place of worship, and it wasn't anything. It wasn't, you know, Adam, here's $1 million. Oh, God, thank you so much. It was me sitting there watching hot dogs boil. A line runs through my head. God breaks me. God breaks me. And then I reflect that back to him. And that was at home in my kitchen with some Easy Mac. Is it possible for you to worship outside of here? Is it possible for you to go away this week and live a life of praise on Monday? On Tuesday? Is it? Okay. I hope so. I hope so. Can I pray for us? Can I? All right. God, we just thank you and we love you for who you are. God, we just want to be reflections of you. God, when you created us, when you created man and you created woman, you created us in your very own image. And God, we want to be an image that pleases you. God, we want you to look down upon us and smile when you see what's going on here, God, as we reflect you, as we dig into your word, God, as we power through distractions, as we find gatherings, God, that we can worship you that aren't necessarily the traditional ways of a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. God, we are humbled by you and what you do, God, and the way you cause us to worship. God, and that all the other areas that we don't even know yet that are going to cause us to worship you. God, we want to be attentive to those. We want you to clear these paths for us that we can just worship you freely. God, that we can bring you along through praying without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. God, you are worthy of worship. You're worthy of more than what we give. God, we just ask that as we become two steps closer to you, God, that we become just those better lovers of you and what you're doing in our lives and what you have for us. It's your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.